Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
The January 6th committee comes knocking at Rudy Giuliani's door, and the British Prime Minister has his own party members turning on him. I'm Shepard Smith. This is the news on CNBC.
Take a pause. This is about a cell phone signal, and we're focused on protecting lives.
Last-minute action taken in the fight over 5G. What the mobile carriers just announced after a dire warning from airline CEOs. The Russia-Ukraine crisis. New fears that war could be imminent.
Russia could at any point launch an attack on Ukraine.
The mission ahead for Secretary Blinken as he heads to Ukraine. President Biden, 1 year in office, approval ratings sinking after major legislative defeats. New reporting on the political reset being planned. Saving lives with a virtual ICU. Step inside the high-tech operations center.
These are my resources where I didn't have that before.
They're helping one hospital battle COVID staffing shortages. The Supreme Court hears a fight over a Christian flag. Microsoft makes a big move toward the metaverse. And from lab to table, inside the push for sustainable meat.
Live from CNBC, the facts, the truth, the news with Shepard Smith.
Good evening. Two of America's most critical industries locked in a fight with major implications for them and almost all of us. In a matter of hours, Verizon and AT&T were set to move forward with their big 5G rollout planned for tomorrow. It's the long-awaited update that the companies say will provide higher speed internet and more reliable cell service. But in an 11th-hour decision, the wireless carriers today announced they will not turn on towers near 82 of America's airports, at least not tomorrow. It's a slight concession in a standoff with America's airlines that, as we reported last night, warned of possible catastrophic disruptions. 10 airline executives sent a letter to the administration saying the nation's commerce will grind to a halt. They warned that people and shipments will struggle to get where they need to go. They say 5G can disrupt a key instrument that planes use for navigation and landing, the radio altimeter. It measures the plane's height above the ground, and pilots say it's critical, especially in bad weather. Now AT&T and Verizon say they'll give the FAA more time to figure out how to make it work. But they also pointed fingers at that agency for not getting it done sooner. "We are frustrated," they wrote, "by the FAA's inability to do what nearly 40 countries have done, which is to safely deploy 5G technology without disrupting aviation services, and we urge it to do so in a timely manner." President Biden thanked the wireless companies today, saying the move will help avoid potentially devastating disruptions. In a moment, we'll hear from the former acting FAA administration, Daniel Elwell. But first, CNBC's Phil LeBeau with where things stand tonight. Phil.
You know, Shep, there's two things to look at right now. The domestic airlines are going over the details of this agreement and also looking at the guidance from the FAA when it comes to their schedules and the fleets, the types of planes that they fly, to make sure that they are not going to encounter any problems once 5G is activated tomorrow, which they are not expecting. And then for some of the foreign airlines, they fly into the United States. Some of them have already proactively canceled some of their flights into the U.S. because they were unsure what the agreement might be reached or when an agreement might be reached. So those schedules are, to a certain extent, paused for some of those airlines, those foreign airlines, but that could change in the next day or two.
So what happens, Phil, for people scheduled to fly tomorrow?
Well, the expectation is that the overwhelming majority of flights, and really almost all of the flights, will take off as scheduled. I have not heard of any cancellations due to the 5G rollout. And then for those people, you know, they go about their business. The real concern, Shep, is going to be when you have airports with bad weather or fog where the radio altimeter is really necessary. Is there a concern about 5G around those airports? Now, this delay should avoid that problem, but this is one of those situations where, to a certain extent, they've kicked the can down the road a bit.
All right, Phil. Phil LeBeau, thank you. The acting FAA Administrator Daniel Elwell now served under the previous administration. Daniel, thanks so much. The wireless carriers really laid into the FAA. They say the agency had 2 years to prepare, and yet here we are. But the FCC did years of analysis and said all would be well. What happened? Why wasn't the FAA ready for this?
Well, I'm not sure that the FAA it should get quite the commentary that they got in from AT&T. The FCC may have done a couple years of analysis, but they're not required, and they didn't do an analysis of aviation safety. It's just not in the process. And that's one of the things that has to change going forward. Spectrum is a finite resource, and this is going to happen again. So they need to get that process locked down. FAA, over a year and a half ago, while I was still there, wrote a letter to the NTIA and raised the flag about the concerns about 5G transmission in aviation. But there needs to be a more robust process, certainly.
Yeah, as you know, 5G is widely used in Europe. No apparent problems with any flights at all. Why and how is this different?
Well, I can't really speak to what Europe has done other than
except that it's working fine there.
Well, they also have a different buffer band than we have here. All their operators are operating at different power levels. These interference issues are all about proximity of stations and the power level each station has, which there's an infinite variety of permutations you can have with that. The other thing is that telecom companies are not very forthcoming about their plans of where they're going to put stations, what kind of power. It's a competitive thing. And so, you know, it's really hard to gather that information in a way that that the FAA can act in a more timely manner than they currently do. I think the process needs to be start earlier and be more transparent.
We're looking at interagency turf battles. Doesn't this go all the way to the top at the FAA? I mean, if we're telling the truth about it?
Well, technically, there's quite a collection of technicians and engineers that look at these things. There is no final authority that writes off or signs off on a telecommunication company transmitting. And that's part of the issue. FAA found out about the plan for 5G and then had its engineers look at it some time ago and saw that there could be an issue. It's a process that needs to be more formalized and needs to start earlier. That's for sure.
Yeah, earlier than a few hours before it starts. Daniel Elwell, good of you to be here. Thank you. Only in America. The White House warning a Russian invasion of Ukraine could be imminent.
This is an extremely dangerous situation. We're now at a stage where Russia could at any point launch an attack in Ukraine. It is the choice of President Putin and the Russians to make whether they are going to suffer severe economic consequences or not.
As fears of war do mount in Europe, Secretary of State Tony Blinken is now set to meet face to face with his Russian counterpart, the foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, on Friday in Geneva. Now, the White House says he'll urge Russia to take immediate steps to de-escalate, meaning the same thing we've been doing. Ahead of the high-stakes meeting, Secretary Blinken is heading to Ukraine to meet with the president there, Volodymyr Zelensky. That's tomorrow. Meanwhile, the UK has announced it's sending anti-tank missiles to Ukraine for its own self-defense as Russian troops continue to mass near the border. The Senate will vote on it, or take the vote, on a voting rights bill, even though it's doomed to fail. That was the message from the Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer today. He forged ahead with debate on the legislation, even though Democrats do not have the votes to pass it.
The eyes of the nation will be watching what happens this week in the United States Senate. The American people deserve to see their senators go on record on whether they will support these bills or oppose them.
Senators Sinema and Manchin have said they oppose changing the Senate's filibuster rule. It allows the minority, in this case the Republicans, to block any bill that fails to get 60 votes. Senate Democrats say they're now weighing a rule change for a talking filibuster. That would force Republicans to hold the floor. And when they stop talking, the Senate would be able to advance a bill with just 51 votes. It's unlikely that Senators Manchin or Sinema would go for that, and the bill will not pass. After major setbacks to President Biden's agenda and a dismal approval rating that just keeps sinking, NBC News reports the White House is plotting a reset and a new strategy to turn things around. The latest poll from Quinnipiac shows President Biden's approval rating has dropped to 33% among U.S. adults. And as President Biden's popularity has plummeted, the GOP has seen a boost. Take a look at this Gallup poll. You can see the percentage of Americans who identify as or lean Republican swung in the GOP's favor over the course of the last year. The Democrats' urgency to reset the president's image comes as he prepares to enter year two in office. That comes Thursday. NBC's Carol Lee at the White House with her reporting on the changes being planned.
Shep, this is really what the White House is saying is a communications reset. So senior administration officials have told us that one of the things that they're going to do is not have the president so public about his conversations with members of Congress. So not get in the weeds on negotiating and all of those images that we've seen over the past year of the president going up to Capitol Hill, meeting with lawmakers to hash out the details of legislation. Instead, they say they're going to put the president in a position where he's talking directly to the American people. Now, they don't know what this is going to look like. There's an agreement on the strategy and that this needs to change, but they don't know exactly how they're going to do that, that whether it's going to mean that the president is out there more meeting with Americans or traveling or having people at the White House, things like that. Obviously, there are some COVID reasons why that may be a little bit difficult for the president, but this is really a recognition that things aren't going well, something needs to change, and in their view at the moment, that is his relationship with, in terms of negotiating with Congress, that those things are going to happen much quieter and he'll talk directly to the American people, as senior administration officials said. Now, it's worth noting that this is not new. Presidents have tried this before. This is kind of an evergreen tactic. When things aren't going well, presidents tend to look around Washington and say, you know, I'm done with you, enough of that, and I'm going directly to the American people. And that's had mixed success in the past. So I think the question is whether or not, Shep, this is something that's actually going to work.
Carol Lee, we'll see. Thank you. COVID staffing shortages hitting frontline workers hard. So one hospital in Texas is leaning on some new tech for help. We'll take you inside a virtual intensive care unit, saving lives. Homes destroyed after a volcano erupts. Now a new warning from local officials about a different disaster they fear may be around the corner. And Wall Street's buzzing after a major acquisition move today by Microsoft. What we know about the multi-billion dollar deal.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you. Like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively FedEx.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Americans can now order online free rapid at-home COVID tests. The feds quietly launched their site today, a day early. It's covidtests.gov. There you can sign up to get tests shipped straight to your home. We tried it a little while ago. It takes less than a minute to fill out the form. According to the site, an order includes four rapid antigen tests, and they'll start shipping sometime late this month. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says the site is still in beta phase, but the official site will launch tomorrow as scheduled. The testing rollout comes as data shows the COVID surge appears to be easing in some hard-hit areas once hit hard and early by Omicron. New York Mayor Eric Adams celebrating the decline in cases and hospitalizations in his city.
Let's be clear on this. We are winning. and we are going to win because we're resilient.
The former FDA commissioner, Dr. Scott Gottlieb, CNBC contributor, says the United States may now be approaching a major turning point.
I think the base case is that this signals the end of the pandemic phase of this virus. It doesn't signal the elimination of this virus from human circulation.
Important to note here, infections are still rising in many parts of the country. In some areas, hospitals are at capacity and their health care workers are stretched very thin. So a hospital in Houston is turning to virtual ICUs to try to take pressure off its staff. Doctors and nurses say it allows them to provide the same quality of care. The only difference is they can do it remotely. NBC's Ellison Barber got a look inside.
This is the operations center in the virtual ICU at Houston Methodist. Right now, registered nurses are able to monitor in real time patients in ICU rooms across all eight of their hospitals. And if one of their colleagues working on an ICU floor needs some sort of assistance, they're only a push away. Come over here and let me show you how this works. Pretend that I am one of the nurses working in the virtual ICU here. Say I'm looking up here and monitoring different patient numbers, their vitals, and I notice that a COVID patient, their oxygen level seems to be dipping. Not only can I notice it up on this screen and alert the doctors and nurses in the ICU, but I can also look inside the room. Watch this. I can zoom in here to try and get a better read on the oxygen flow. I can look at this as a nurse maybe is outside the door putting on their PPE to safely go inside the room and give them a bit of a heads up. So maybe I can start brainstorming ideas to help that patient a little bit faster. This isn't something that Houston Methodist started doing solely because of the pandemic, but they say it has been a vital resource during COVID surges, especially as they've dealt with staffing issues.
Before virtual ICU, it was just me. I had to, if I had a medical ICU patient holding, and I didn't have that doctor to run ideas by, I had to, hey, can you pretty please help me out? Now I don't have to go look for that person. They're right there for me. Boom, just hit the button, and they're my resource.
Houston Methodist has buttons in some 300 ICU rooms. That green one right there, where if someone on the other side needs help, needs assistance from the virtual ICU, they can push that button and almost instantly get assistance. On other floors, like say the emergency room, they have carts like this that function in a similar way. Pretend in this scenario that I'm an ER nurse who is treating a patient that needs to go to the ICU, but because we're at capacity and we don't have enough staff, that patient is staying in the ER. I can push this button and pretty quickly, hi Laura, talk to a nurse on the other side. Say my skill set is as an ER nurse doesn't make me feel entirely comfortable dealing with a patient who has been on a ventilator for an extended period of time and I want to wean them off that ventilator. I can call someone like Laura here through this cart and get real-time guidance and advice. Shep.
All right. Necessity, the mother of invention. Florida manatees, they're dying off in record numbers. The reason and the effort to save the marine animal with no known predators from the growing threat of us. And it's called broken heart syndrome. Feels just like a real heart attack, but it is not. Why the medical condition is on the rise and who's most at risk.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
A record 1,100 manatees died last year in Florida, nearly double the total from the year before. That's according to the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission. And in the first week of this year, the FWC already recorded 7 manatee deaths. Of course, manatees aren't dying of only natural causes. Many of them are starving. Seagrass is their main source of food. It's dying off, mostly because of pollution and changes in ocean climate. Now, conservationists are looking to try new methods to help save the manatees and hoping 2022 can bring some brighter days for the sea cows. Here's NBC's Kerry Sanders.
Manatees, the gentle giants with no predators, not even sharks or alligators, in an unprecedented fight to survive. In the last 12 months, a record 1,100-plus manatees have died, most from starvation.
These animals aren't down 100 pounds. They're not down 200 pounds. We're talking being down 800-900 pounds, half to three-quarters of your body weight gone. They're skeletons.
Orlando SeaWorld, with the largest manatee hospital in the world, had 36 patients and was at capacity. But over the weekend, with the help of shipping giant DHL, teams flew 4 manatee calves from Orlando to the Columbus Zoo and Aquarium. The delicate weekend journey needed to make room at SeaWorld's hospital because increasingly in the wild, more and more of these gentle giants are in a life and death struggle. But for all the heartbreaking losses, those that are rescued are likely to survive, like the newest arrivals in Ohio, nicknamed Cardi T, Lizzo, Mary Kate, and Ashley.
The Columbus Zoo and Aquarium was more than happy to help out.
The unprecedented manatee death rate off the Atlantic coast, a result of fertilizer runoff from farms and lawns, as well as leaky septic tanks. Combined, the nutrient-rich water becomes supercharged, causing algae blooms, the thick gunk preventing the sun rays from reaching the ocean seabed, where seagrasses grow. A big manatee eats up to 300 pounds of seagrass a day.
But there's no seagrass for a 70-80-mile stretch.
So is it like a desert down there?
It's a desert underwater. There's no food. There's nothing there.
In the manatee hospital, lettuce is the number one choice to build their weight back up. But in the wild, the feedings like this have failed.
We continue to adapt. We are confident at some point we'll find a trigger that works.
For the news, I'm Kerry Sanders.
Well, a nurse attacked at a bus stop in Los Angeles. A woman pushed onto the subway tracks in New York City. Random acts of violence in some of our biggest cities are forcing leaders to take action. And the walls seem to be closing in on Boris Johnson as the British Prime Minister faces a revolt from within his own political party. Tonight, a reporter from our sister network Sky News takes him to task, pulling no punches as she questions him in a must-see interview.
There's alcohol being served in the middle of a lockdown and you think that's a work event. That is just ludicrous, isn't it? You are just taking the mickey out of the British people.
A game-changing deal on Wall Street today. Microsoft announced plans it'll buy the video game maker Activision Blizzard. It's an all-cash deal worth nearly $70 billion. If it closes, Microsoft would expand its already massive Xbox business. It would secure the video game giant known for the popular games including Call of Duty, World of Witchcraft, Tony Hawk's World of Warcraft, I meant to say. Tony Hawk's skater stuff and Candy Crush. In an interview today on CNBC's Squawk Box, the Microsoft gaming CEO said the deal will go a long way to help his company stay competitive in the metaverse.
We look at the importance to us at Microsoft Gaming of people playing on mobile. We look at the coming metaverse, the opportunities that we need with great IP. We really saw this as an amazing opportunity.
The controversial Activision Blizzard chief executive is expected to step down once this Microsoft deal is finalized. Bobby Kotick has faced calls to resign over allegations of workplace misconduct. Back in November, the Wall Street Journal reported that he knew about sexual misconduct accusations at the company, but failed to inform the company's board of directors. In one case, the Journal reports, Kotick intervened to keep an executive on staff after a woman accused that employee of sexual harassment. This is what he had to say about that scandal on Squawk Box today.
Any issue of harassment or discrimination is something that I would take seriously and do.
And like many companies today, we had some challenges, but we have worked through them. We are committed. I can tell you it's a focus of mine, and we continue to improve the culture with the expectation of being the very best, most inclusive workplace culture.
Microsoft officials say they expect to close the deal next fiscal year. CNBC.com technology editor Steve Kovac is with us now. Steve, Microsoft is really betting big on video games and especially the metaverse.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening here. And not only is this a bet, Shep, this is Microsoft's biggest acquisition ever, and it's for a gaming company. So what the real challenge here is, Activision Brands, those games you mentioned at the top of this story, they're not really these metaverse games yet. They're traditional platforms like on your PlayStation or your computer. The real challenge now for Microsoft is to shepherd the IP that we heard Phil Spencer talking about into the metaverse, into these like realistic experiences that we keep hearing about.
It's kind of a reminder of the streaming wars, you know? Studios buying and developing as much original content to attract as many eyeballs as they can. Is the same thing happening now with the metaverse?
That's exactly what's happening. We're seeing a lot of mergers and acquisitions in the video game space because these big tech companies truly believe, and in Microsoft's case, they're willing to bet $70 billion on it, that the metaverse is a thing. So they're snapping up all the content they can now in order to have that IP on hand when they're ready to do the metaverse.
All of this has to be approved, obviously. What's the chance federal regulators may say no?
Oh, boy. Well, we know Microsoft has experience here. They got put through the antitrust ringer back in the 90s and early 2000s. But today couldn't have been worse timing because the top two antitrust officials came out with new guidelines that they are proposing for just these type of mergers. They're going after big tech in a big way, and this is a prime target for regulators.
Steve Kovac, thank you, sir. Another headache for home buyers, and that's what's stopping CNBC's On the Money. Low inventory, high demand, skyrocketing prices, and now mortgage rates are climbing and fast, which could eventually change everything. The average rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage at 3.7%, that's up nearly a full point from a year ago. According to Mortgage News Daily, it's the highest level since April of 2020. Rates reacting to surging bond yields as the Fed aggressively dials back its stimulus. Europeans racing to buy electric cars. More than 20% of new cars sold across Europe and in the UK in December were battery powered. That's according to the latest data compiled for the Financial Times. It's the first time that electric cars outsold diesel models. Diesel sales were more than half of the EU market as recently as 2015. And fiasco, that's Italian for flop. In Rome today, the much-anticipated auction for a 16th-century villa, home to a mural by the famed Italian painter Caravaggio, received no bids at all. The villa came to auction for $533 million. The painting itself valued at $351 million. They'll try again in early April, but then the asking price will be 20% less. On Wall Street, stocks sink as Treasury yields hit a two-year high. The Dow down 543, the S&P down 86, the NASDAQ down 387, more than 2.5% to its lowest level in 3 months. I'm Shepard Smith on CNBC. It's the bottom of the hour. Time for the top of the news. At least three dead after a volcano eruption and tsunami hits the island nation of Tonga. Now a dire warning from local officials that has nothing to do with the volcano. Investigating January 6th, the brand new subpoenas targeting Rudy Giuliani and other top allies of the former president. And big city mayors facing the rise of violent crime. By way of example, a nurse in Los Angeles died at the hospital where she worked for nearly four decades. Police say somebody attacked her while she was waiting at a bus stop near Union Station. Just a few miles away last week, somebody stabbed and killed a 24-year-old woman working alone in a furniture store. Both attacks, police say, unprovoked. Last week, the Los Angeles mayor, Eric Garcetti, warned murders are on the rise in the city, just as they're spiking across the country. In 2020, murders rose nearly 30%, a new record, according to the FBI. The agency has not yet released the data for 2021, but AH Datalytics reports that murders were up again last year in dozens of major cities. Tonight in New York City, where murders are up almost 17% over the past 2 years, according to NYPD crime stats, people are gathering to remember a woman who was killed after police say somebody pushed her in front of a subway train. CBC's Valerie Castro live tonight in Times Square, where people are honoring the victim of another violent crime. Valerie.
Shep, even though subway ridership has been down ever since the start of the pandemic, crime has been ever present. And tonight, a vigil was held here in Times Square to honor that latest victim. Earlier today, Mayor Eric Adams admitted that even he doesn't feel safe on the city's transit system while promising change.
We're going to drive down crime, and we're going to make sure New Yorkers feel safe in our subway system. And they don't feel that way now. I don't feel that way when I take the train every day or when I'm moving throughout our transportation system.
Over the weekend, 40-year-old Michelle Goh was waiting on a subway platform near Times Square when police say she was pushed in front of a train in an unprovoked attack. Witnesses say she never saw the attacker who pushed her from behind. An hour and a half later, police say 61-year-old Simon Marshall, who is described as homeless and emotionally disturbed, turned himself in. Friends say Michelle Goh was a volunteer with the New York Junior League, helping at-risk and homeless families. She was also a managing director at Deloitte Consulting, the company calling her death a senseless act of violence.
Her friends called her the ultimate friend, who would drop everything with a smile to care for them. And she cared for our city, volunteering with the unhoused and the young.
I know we are all heartbroken that Michelle's life was cut so short. But what does make me happy is that I know Michelle lived her life to the fullest. Michelle, we will miss you deeply, but know that you will always be in our hearts and memories.
Michelle Goh is originally from the Bay Area in California. Her family held a simultaneous vigil there. As for the suspect, he is charged with second-degree murder. Police have not categorized this as a hate crime, but the Asian American community says this is another attack in a string of violent incidents targeting the AAPI community since the start of the pandemic. Shep.
Valerie Castro live tonight in Times Square. At least three people are dead on the island nation of Tonga after that underwater volcano eruption triggered tsunamis across the Pacific. Look at this. These are before and after satellite images of the capital of Tonga. Shows the normally green island now covered in ash. Local officials say the disaster destroyed or damaged nearly all the homes in some of the hardest hit smaller islands. But they say one of the biggest problems is that the ash has contaminated the local water supply. New Zealand's military set to send water and other much-needed supplies, but flights have been delayed by a full day because volcanic ash is covering Tonga's main runway. Tongan officials warn of another long-term threat. They say they're concerned that international aid workers could cause a COVID outbreak in the country. Tonga has been virtually COVID-free. It's reported but one case. That was in late October. Australian and New Zealand officials say they plan to deliver aid in a COVID-safe way. Developing news out of the United Kingdom. The British Prime Minister Boris Johnson is facing a growing rebellion from inside his own political party. As many as 20 Conservative members of Parliament say they plan to submit letters of no confidence in Johnson tomorrow. That's according to the British newspaper, The Daily Telegraph. 54 letters are required to trigger a no-confidence vote in Parliament. Prime Minister Johnson has faced calls to resign after reports that No. 10 Downing Street hosted parties over the past 2 years. The events were held when the United Kingdom government imposed strict COVID restrictions on gathering. In an interview today, Prime Minister Johnson said nobody told him that the parties would break COVID rules, insisting they were work events. But one of his former top aides claims flat out he's lying. Local coverage now from our sister network Sky News and their reporter Beth Rigby in London.
So they don't need to be here.
The Prime Minister out in plain sight for the first time in days.
So you see, it looks like something from outer space, but really it's the optic nerve.
But the optics around him are terrible, and the nerves visible from a man now under serious pressure. On a tour of a hospital today, the result he's waiting for is the outcome of Sue Gray's investigation into lockdown parties at Downing Street. The revelations keep coming. And the latest from his former top advisor turned foe, Dominic Cummings, accusing the PM of lying about what he knew, is significant.
He is on the record saying under oath, you are lying, that you were warned about this event and you went ahead anyway, that you knew that
I can tell you categorically that nobody told me and nobody said that this was something that was against the rules, that was a breach of the COVID rules, or we were doing something that wasn't a work event, because, frankly, I don't think... I can't imagine why on earth it would have gone ahead or why it would have been allowed to go ahead.
The idea that you walked into the garden, there's 40 people there, the tables are laid out with food and drink and there's alcohol being served in the middle of a lockdown and you think that's a work event, that is just ludicrous, isn't it? You are just taking the mickey out of the British people by suggesting that. You know how silly that sounds, don't you?
I think what people need to do is wait and see what the report says, but I repeat my deep apologies to people for mistakes that may have been made on my watch.
One misjudgment that really hurts, the apology to Her Majesty the Queen over parties allegedly held in Downing Street the night before Her Majesty sat alone at the funeral of her husband.
Was having to apologise to the Queen about those parties the night before she put her husband of over 70 years, she laid him to rest. Was that a moment of shame for you?
I deeply and bitterly regret that happened.
Do you think you can recover from this? You might be able to survive, but can you recover? Yeah. Your polling is terrible. The public think you should go. Your MPs are in revolt. Six of them have publicly said you should resign.
Beth, I understand people's feelings. And I understand why people feel as strongly as they do about this issue. I'm heartily, heartily sorry for misjudgments that were made in number 10.
Right now, he's in the most acute fight of his political life and wondering whether he can hang on. Beth Rigby, Sky News.
We could know more tomorrow. Beth, thanks. The pandemic has led to many long-lasting health conditions, but one is happening to those who haven't had COVID at all. The symptoms are similar to a heart attack. It's brought on by stress and extreme emotions. CNBC's Andrea Day now on the rise of broken heart syndrome.
I was having a pain just in my chest.
Just minutes after she found out her husband of 19 years was dead, Sherrianne Formosa started having chest pains.
It started going in my shoulder, and then it started going down my arm.
She says it felt like she was having a heart attack, but her doctors at NYU Langone Great Neck Medical say the extreme stress from losing her husband, Roger, caused her heart to malfunction. Cardiologist Dr. Jennifer Chow.
Broken heart syndrome, which is also known as stress-induced cardiomyopathy, is basically what happens when someone suffers an emotional trauma, often the death of someone they love, and that physically manifests as a dysfunction in their heart. Instead of the heart pumping normally, with the muscle contracting down and squeezing to push blood out of our body, we see the heart actually dilate and it balloons out.
And cases, she says, rising during COVID.
And I mean, it's incredible. It's about a fourfold increase in the cases that we're seeing of broken heart syndrome.
And like Formosa, Dr. Chow says women are most at risk.
90% of patients are females, and the median age is 66 years old.
Dr. Ankur Kalra is an interventional cardiologist, formerly with the Cleveland Clinic, and says stress during COVID is taking its toll.
Obviously, with rising numbers and rising toll of, you know, dying patients in the country, that had a toll on each one of us emotionally. It's loss or a physical stress, emotional stress, that actually literally, colloquially, figuratively, you know, breaks your heart. And that's what the broken heart syndrome is.
And Shep, the good news here is that broken heart syndrome is far less deadly than a regular heart attack, and most patients recover within a few days. Doctors say the best treatment is working to control your stress, so those daily walks and yoga classes can be a great thing. Shep?
Andrea Day, thank you. Should a private group be able to fly a Christian flag on a flagpole at City Hall. The group says yes. The city of Boston said no. Now the Supreme Court will decide. Pete Williams, on which way the justices are leaning. Plus, it's real meat, that's for sure. But it doesn't come from a farm. It doesn't even come from an animal. Why the next generation of chicken nuggets could come from a laboratory. The House Select Committee investigating the January 6th Capitol insurrection issued new subpoenas tonight and for some of the former president's closest allies. His lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, as well as lawyers Sidney Powell, Jenna Ellis, and the former White House aide Boris Epstein, all got subpoenas today. In a statement, the panel argued the four were subpoenaed because they advanced unsupported theories about election fraud, pushed efforts to overturn the election results, or were in direct contact with the former president during the attack on January 6th. The subpoenas are the latest demands from the panel for interviews and evidence from people in the former president's orbit during the insurrection. The committee is reportedly hoping to issue a final report before November's midterm elections. The debate over the separation of church and state taking center stage at the Supreme Court today. The court hearing arguments in a case involving the city of Boston and its refusal to allow a private group to fly a Christian flag in front of City Hall. The city argued it would be an unconstitutional endorsement of religion. But the group argues not allowing the flag to fly would amount to censoring religious message in a public forum. NBC News Justice correspondent Pete Williams joins us now with a breakdown. Pete?
Shep, this is partly a factual question. What is the flagpole? The city says it's a place for expressing its messages, city pole, city message. But the group suing the city says it's not an expression of the government's views because the city approves just about any request, flags of foreign countries, historical flags, group representing the city's diversity. In fact, the city has said no only once, and that was to the Christian flag. But there's also a constitutional question here about whether the city is right when it says that letting the Christian flag fly on the city's flagpole would amount to a government endorsement of religion, Shep.
So on that matter, there were oral arguments today, and did you get a sense of the room?
Yeah, I think a majority will say it's clear that the flagpole is a public forum because of the laissez-faire way the city has administered this program. Two of the justices who used to live in Boston, by the way, Stephen Breyer and Alina Kagan, had their doubts about that. They said anybody walking past City Hall would think it is the city's expression, but they seem to be in the minority on that. And second, I think the justices will probably say that the city got the law wrong. It would violate the separation of church and state if the city flew a Christian flag all the time, every day. But the court seems likely to say that allowing it to fly for just an hour as part of a regular series of flags from outside groups representing the city's diversity is not an endorsement of religion. So my prediction is the city's going to lose here and it will take much more control over the flagpole from now on so it doesn't have to allow all comership.
Pete Williams, thank you, sir. Plant-based meats, mainstream now. They're turning up on more supermarket shelves and fast food menus all over the place. Many plant-based meats are made from things like soybeans and veggies and quinoa. But now, something different. One company is trying to put the meat back in meat alternatives. And some investors are betting big. Here's CNBC's Kate Rogers.
This is real chicken, and so is this and this. Except it's made in labs and commercial food production facilities instead of being raised on a farm. It's called cultivated meat, made from the cells of animals, and is part of a burgeoning industry seeking regulatory approval. Eat Just is the first company to have approval to sell its cultivated chicken products in Singapore.
It is real meat, and instead of needing billions of animals and all the land and the water and all the rainforest you typically need to knock down to make that happen, we start with a cell. And you can get the cell from a biopsy of an animal, a fresh piece of meat, or a cell bank. Now we don't need the animal anymore. Then we identify nutrients, think feed to feed that cell, and then we make it. And we make it in a stainless steel vessel called a bioreactor.
Fewer than 1,000 customers have tried it so far, but its CEO envisions a future where it's sold from street carts to Michelin star restaurants. Beyond regulators, the biggest hurdles for the industry are bringing down sky-high production costs and explaining to consumers what this is, and why it's beneficial for the planet.
So our food system's role in climate change is generally underappreciated, but industrial animal agriculture is a major contributor. And so alternative proteins, including cultivated meat, can be a key aspect of how we reduce the emissions from our food system.
And while all eyes are on U.S. regulators, investors have been pouring into this space with a global $2 billion invested over the last 2 years. But believers say that so far this is still underinvested as a potential climate change solution. Shep?
Kate, thanks. Rebuilding Notre Dame. An inside look at how the roof and spire of the 850-year-old building are being rebuilt nearly 3 years after that massive fire. Feel the rhythm, feel the rhyme, because for the first time in 24 years, Jamaica, it's bobsled time. The birth rate in China has hit an all-time low. It's come as the world's most populous country is also dealing with a dwindling workforce. China's National Bureau of Statistics reports more than 10 million babies were born in the country last year. That's a nearly 12% decrease from the year before. The number of newborns in China has now declined for five straight years. The slowdown in population growth raising concerns that China could face a situation where it doesn't have enough workers to support a growing number of older people. In China, people aged 16 to 59 are considered to be within the official working age population. And right now, it accounts for more than 60% of the total population. But the experts warn that could drop to just half by 2050. We're getting a new up-close look at the massive restoration efforts underway at the historic Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. Nearly 3 years ago, the world watched as smoke billowed out of the more than 850-year-old landmark. The flames destroyed most of the roof where the fire broke out, and eventually the cathedral's iconic spire collapsed. Crews spent the better part of 2 years just getting the structure stable. And then, this past September, efforts to secure the structure were complete, allowing restoration to begin. NBC's senior international correspondent Keir Simmons reports on the progress in Paris.
Notre Dame's cathedral roof, restoration now underway, revealed in new exclusive images. And this morning, broadcast for the first time, stunning aerial video of the gaping hole where her famous spire once stood. The cover story of February's National Geographic, rare access to the 850-year-old cathedral as it rises from the ashes. And in the evening, glowing once again. Contrast that to the night of flames 3 years ago, Parisians watching helpless as smoke and fire rose above the city, that world-famous spire collapsing. National Geographic's Rob Kunzig, based in the U.S., witnessed the Gothic icon burn from the banks of the Seine.
The banks of the Seine were crowded with thousands of people. People were singing softly, they were praying, they were kneeling, they were a lot of them just staring transfixed.
He returned to Paris to see the resurrection.
You're going to see the church as you've never seen it before because the outpouring of donations from all over the world, including the U.S., was so strong that they've got enough money to really do it right.
Just a year before the fire, hello, today was given exclusive access to the cathedral.
Are we going to run into Quasimodo?
It's possible.
To the timber roof, where its most famous fictional resident, the Hunchback of Notre Dame, lived, was a fictional man who couldn't show himself, and his lover. It's easy to see how that story caught people's imagination. The famous bells that have rung out through history.
All big events, the liberation of Paris was celebrated with these bells ringing.
Miraculously surviving the historic inferno. Statues of the 12 apostles survived too, because incredibly, just 4 days before the fire, they'd been removed for restoration. Photographer Thomas van Hootreeve, using a 19th century wooden camera to capture these images of the gargoyles on glass plates.
And I took it up there inside Notre Dame, up the bell towers, and photographed the gargoyles, which were also coincidentally made about the same time as this camera.
The new rooftop and famous spire will be rebuilt using the same oak and lead that burned and melted in the inferno, using medieval tools and techniques. A sea of scaffolding inside, as they bring Notre Dame back to life, a cathedral that has survived revolution and war, even seeing Napoleon crowned emperor, emerging from her battle with the flames, once again making history. For the news, I'm Keir Simmons.
Well, Jamaica, you have a bobsled team. For the first time in 24 years, Jamaica will have a four-man bobsled team at the Winter Olympics. And they're not going alone. The country qualified in three Olympic bobsled events, also a first. It'll be competing in two-man and the women's monobob. Jamaica first slid into the bobsled scene with its debut at the 88 Calgary Games. Maybe you know the story.
Feel the rhythm! Feel the rhyme! Get on up! It's bobsled time!
The 88 teams inspired the movie Cool Runnings. Spoiler alert, the team didn't finish. But they did kick off a 20-year run of Jamaica making an appearance in the Winter Games. We'll see how they do this year. The Winter Olympics opening ceremony just 17 days away. You can watch starting February 3rd on the networks of NBC Universal and streaming on Peacock. 40 seconds left on a race to the finish. AT&T and Verizon are now delaying their rollout of 5G service near 82 airports after major airlines warn there could be catastrophic disruptions. After repeated setbacks to President Biden's agenda and a dismal approval rating, NBC News reports the White House is plotting a public reset and a new strategy to turn things around. And we can now all order free COVID tests online and have them delivered straight to our homes. The Biden administration launched the website today. And now, you know the news of this Tuesday, January the 18th, 2022. See you tomorrow. You've been listening to the CNBC podcast, The News with Shepard Smith. You can always catch us live weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, only on CNBC.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.